Now we're holding on Pei Vav Amud Beis by the Mishnah. We talked about in the last Mishnah where a Bas Koyin, where Bas Yisrael is Mureses to a Koyin, or Bas Koyin to a Yisrael, and various permutations like that, where we said they can't eat Truma, and we talked in addition about whether if it's a Levi or a Bas Levi, whether it's a wife of a Levi or a daughter of a Levi, whether she can eat Meiser, and we talked about all the ins and outs of that. So now continuing on that topic, the Mishnah says, which much of what we're going to learn over here is following up from what we learned about 20 blot ago at the end of, in the seventh perek, in the seventh perek of Amasechta, we had a short perek of a couple of blot that dealt with many of these dinim. So now we're continuing on that. Now we're continuing on that topic and expanding more on them. So the Mishnah says, Bas Yisrael shenisses l'kohen. If a daughter of a Yisrael marries a kohen, toicha b'truma, then she can eat truma. That fine. We said before that when she's more reses than not. Again, we said then that d'oraisa she could, but d'rabbanan, there's two reasons why she can't. But now that she's fully married, sure, she can eat truma. Mes v'lohe menu ben. If her husband dies, but she has a child from him, ben doesn't just mean a son, it's any kind of child, toicha b'truma. Not only a child, actually, we learned in that perek that even if her actual child has passed away, but she has some descendant from him, then she can still eat truma as long as she has some living descendant from her husband. So then, she can still eat truma by virtue of that. Nisus l'levi, similarly, if this Bas Yisrael marries a levi, then similarly she can eat meiser. Again, we're talking according to a mayor who says that a zor can't eat meiser, rishin, as we talked about yesterday, or we could use the various answers maybe that we said in the Gemara before, that for example, that toichal can mean that she is able to appoint a shliach to separate the meiser and the trumas meiser from her husband's produce, because now that she's married to him, then she has the ability to do that. Anyway, so therefore, so toichal b'meiser, she's able to eat meiser. Mes v'lohe menu ben, if her husband dies, but she has a son, or again, a descendant from him, toichal b'meiser, then she can continue to eat meiser because of that. Nisus l'Yisrael. Now, so here the first part of the Mishnah is actually talking about the same woman who's had several different marriages. So here we have, she was married to a Kohen. Now her husband, the Kohen, died. So she married a Levi. Now he died, so she married a Yisrael. So Nisus l'Yisrael, the same woman, if she marries Yisrael, loy teicha, loy b'trumav, loy b'meiser, now she can't eat truma or meiser anymore. Now there's not much chiddush in that because after all, she's now married to Yisrael. The chiddush is, we're going to talk about it as we're going to continue in the Mishnah, about what happens if she has children from her various marriages. So mes v'lohe menu ben, so if she dies, so if her husband dies and she has a son from her husband Yisrael, also lo teicha lo b'truma v'lo b'meiser. So then she still can't eat truma and meiser because she has the son from Yisrael. Now on the other hand, mes b'nam Yisrael. On the other hand, if her son from the Yisrael dies, toicha b'meiser, then she's able to eat meiser because of the fact that she has. So we're talking about, in other words, so she was married three times. And each of her marriages she had a child from. So what happens is, in other words, so she was married to the Kohen, and then and he died and left her with a son. So that allowed her to continue eating truma because she has a son from the Kohen until she married the Levi. Same thing, when she's married to the Levi, and then later on, when she has a son from the Levi, then she's able to eat Maiser Rishon, according to the mayor, again, by virtue of that, because she has a son from him, but then once she marries Yisrael, then she forfeits that. So she has a son from the Yisrael, she still can't eat Truma or Maiser, but Mes B'nam Yisrael, now if her husband from her third marriage dies, so now she's back to, she has children now, she has living children from the Kohen and from the Levi. So therefore, Toicha B'Meiser, now she's able to go back to eating Meiser because now we focus again on the fact that she has a son from a Levi. Now, the question would be, why does the fact that she had a son from Yisrael take that away, and then when that son dies, then it brings it back? The fact that she had the son from the Levi the whole time, she had the son from the Kohen the whole time also, for that matter. So actually, the Aruch Laner talks about two possibilities why. One is, he says, because the children, so to speak, cancel each other out. One of them allows her to eat truma, let's say, the one from the Kohen. The one prevents her from eating truma, or two of them actually do, the ones from the Levi and from the Yisrael. So once those children or their descendants are gone, then we kind of, everything cancels each other out and we return her to her original status. So in this case, since her original status was that she was a Bas Yisrael, and a Bas Yisrael can't eat truma or meiser, then therefore once all the children are out of the picture, then we go back to her original status, as opposed to further on in the Mishnah, at the top of Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, we're going to talk about the other way around, where she started out as a Bas Kohen, where there again, once all the children are passed away, then from the various husbands, then we would say they kind of cancel each other out, and therefore she's back to her original status. That's the Aruch Laner's first explanation. Then his second explanation is, it depends on the order of her marriages. Here in our Mishnah, we go whichever one was the last one, and the one that produced the last living child is the one that determines her status. So therefore, over here, since she was married to the Yisrael last, and she had the child with the Yisrael last, then therefore that's the one that determines her status. And then once he passes away, then you go back to the previous one and so forth. There are obvious nafkaminis between these two. It seems that the Rambam holds more like the Aruch Laner's second explanation. There's a Rashi elsewhere that may imply like the Aruch Laner's first explanation. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. So Mes B'nam Yisrael Teichu B'Maisa.
When she has a son from the Kohen.
Yeah.
A Bas Yisrael, the son from a Kohen, and her husband passes away, and then she's got a son from a Levi, and her husband also passes away, and she doesn't have a son
from
Yisrael.
Once she married the Levi, that disqualified her from eating truma, even though she has a son who can eat truma, and then if her Levi husband passes away, even as long as she has a son or a descendant from him, then yes, she still can't eat truma. The only thing that would allow her to eat truma then is if her husband, the Levi or Yisrael, passed away or divorced her children, she doesn't have any children, she doesn't have any living children or descendants from him. Then if she still has a living descendant from her husband, the Kohen, then she can continue eating truma. Then she can go back to eating truma.
So that's the halacha, it's not an opinion.
Yeah, no. We're talking about there are different opinions.
I'm talking about the halacha now. Let's be clear.
About the order of things. Yeah.
Like, what's the halacha? Let's be clear about that.
That's the halacha. That's what we're saying in the Mishnah. That once she marries a Levi, that disqualifies her from eating truma, and she remains disqualified until A, her marriage is over by her husband's death or divorce, or and B, that she doesn't have any living children from him or living descendants from him. You need both of those criteria. And then as long as her child from the Kohen or a descendant of hers from the Kohen is still alive, then she can go back to eating truma. That's the black letter halacha. Continues the Mishnah. Mes b'nami Levi. So now, Mes b'nami Yisrael teichu b'maaser. If her child from Yisrael passes away, then she can go back to eating maaser because she still has her son from the Levi. Mes b'nami Levi teichu b'truma. And if her son from the Levi passes away, then she can go back to eating truma because she still has her son from the Kohen. Mes b'nami Kohen. If her child from the Kohen passes away, so now she has no descendants from her husband, and her husband himself is gone. So she can't eat truma or meiser because she doesn't have any connection to kohuna anymore. That's all when she started out as a Bas Yisrael. Continues the Mishnah. The flip side, Bas Kohen shenisses Yisrael lo teicha b'truma. If she's a Bas Kohen married Yisrael, she can't eat truma because as soon as she marries the Yisrael, really actually, as we said previously, once she even is more restless to the Yisrael, then she loses the ability to eat truma. Mes v'lohe menu ben lo teicha b'truma. Also, if her husband, the Yisrael, dies, but she has a son from him, she also still can't eat truma because she has a child from him. Nisus Levi teichu b'maaser. If then she marries a Levi, she can eat maaser because now she's the wife of a Levi. Mes v'lohe menu ben teichu b'maaser. If he dies and she still has a son from him, she can continue to eat maaser because of her son. Nisus l'koyin teichu b'truma. Now if she marries a koyin, she can eat truma because now she's the wife of a koyin. Mes v'lohe menu ben teichu b'truma. And if he passes away and she has a son from him also, she can eat truma. Again, according to the Aruch Laner, it's two different explanations. Is it because they basically cancel each other out? And now that she has a son from a Kohen, that it cancels out the fact that she has also ones from the Levi or from the Yisrael? Or is it more a matter of because of the order of things, because the one from the Kohen came last? Anyway, it continues the mission. If now her husband, the Kohen, or the third husband, passes away and she still has a son from him, also, she can still eat truma because of that child. But if that child from the Kohen passes away, now she cannot eat truma. She's a bas Kohen, but right now she doesn't have any connection to Kohuna because she still has children from her non-Kohen husband. If now her child from the Levi passes away, then she loses her ability to eat Meiser because now she has no more connection to the Leviim anymore. And now if her husband from the Yisrael, her first child, also passed away, now everything is canceled out. This is where she, being a Bas Kohen, she returns to her father's house, meaning that she can now go back to eating Truma. This is what the Pasuk is talking about when it says, she returns to her father's house like she was in her youth, and she can eat from her father's food. This is what it's talking about, where the Pasuk describes, she was a Bas Kohen, she was married to Kisiel the Ishzar, she was married to, we talked about previously also, that it can be if she was married to a Zor, then she loses the ability to eat Truma. We talked about also that if she was Nival L'Posula, if she had relations with somebody who was possible for her, then in addition, it also passes her from Truma forever. But now the pasuk continues. If she's an almono grusha and she has no child, then the pasuk then continues with what the Mishnah is quoting over here of Shaval based on the Yafinura. So this is the scenario where she was married to a non-Kohen, a Levi or Yisrael, and the marriage is over and she doesn't have any living children from him, then therefore she can go back to eating truma. So the Gemara asks, Mes b'nami Levi teicha b'truma. Now let's consider the case we're saying in the first part of the Mishnah. We said that if a Bas Yisrael we're talking about the last part of the Mishnah, where we're talking about a Bas Kohen who marries a Yisrael, then a Levi, then a Kohen. We said that if her child from the Levi passes away, we are talking about the Bas Yisrael. The Bas Yisrael, we said, married in the order Kohen Levi Yisrael. We said if now her child from the Yisrael and then her child from the Levi passes away, then because she still has a living child from her first husband, the Kohen, so Mes B'nami Levi, Teichel B'truma, the Hodra Ochla Mishum B'na, that we're saying now she can go back to eating because of her son. So Minolon, where do we know that from? Meaning, if she was still married to a Kohen, we'd understand. But she's no longer married to a Kohen, and the fact that she had a child from a Kohen didn't help her while she was married to the Levi, or while she was married to the Yisrael, or while she had living children from the Levi or from the Yisrael. Why now, all of a sudden, that they're gone? Where do we see in a pasuk the implication that now, because even though she's not married to a Kohen, and even though she was married to a Levi or Yisrael and had children from them, but because those children are gone, then therefore she's able to go back to eating truma because of her son, because of her first son, the Kohen, Minolon, where do we get that from? So Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Bas Uvas. Because the Pasuk says, Uvas Kohen Kisiya Amono Gusha, and the extra Vav over there allows us to doubtion that also this case, even though she herself is not a Bas Kohen, but she does have a child from a Kohen, then therefore that's enough. So the Gemara says, Kiman Kirab Akiva, the Dorish Vavi. So you're telling me then that this din would be only according to Rabbi Akiva, who doushens extra Vavs, which you have, we touched on that earlier in the Masechta. In particular, you have a Gemara in Sanhedrin, where Rabbi Akiva and where Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel argue about that and derive different dinim on that basis. So would the din in our Mishnah be only according to Rabbi Akiva? The answer is no. I feel the Tamer Rabbanon. It could even be according to the other Chachamim, such as Rabbi Shmuel, because kula uvas kro yiseru. The whole part of the pasuk where it says uvas koyin is extra, because the previous pasuk already tells us uvas koyin kisiel the ishzar. So therefore, so we know already we're talking about a bas kohen. Then when the next pasuk continues, uvas kohen kisi almono grusha v'zera ema, it didn't have to repeat the words uvas kohen. It could have said v'chi si almono grusha, and we know that we're talking already about a bas kohen. So therefore, so those words are extra, and therefore, even according to the other chachamim, we could use them for the drasha to teach us about this case where she has a son, where all along she had a son from a kohen, but until now that was overshadowed by the fact that she was married to and had children from non-kohenim, where now when they're gone, she's able to eat truma, as we said in the first part of our Mishnah, that we can learn from the extra words of uvas kohen. The Gemara says, turn it up. Now, we learn in a braisa, now focusing on the second part of the Mishnah. So we had the Mishnah breaks down into two major parts. The first part was talking about what happens with a Bas Yisrael. The second one was talking about what happens with a Bas Kohen, where we said that eventually, when all her children from her non-Kohen husbands are gone, then she can go back to eating Truma in her father's house, Truma de Beinosha, as it's called in the Gemara. So, turn it up, we learn in a braisa. In that case, Shehi Chazeres, when she returns to being able to eat truma from her father's house, because she's a Bas Kohen, Chazeres the truma, she only returns as far as truma, Ve'in Chazeres the Chaz of Ashoik. She doesn't get to return as far as Chaz of Ashoik, meaning we know that the Kohenim also get portions of a Korban Shlomim and other Korbanis that are similar to a Shlomim in that regard, like a Toida, where you take certain parts of them and they wave them and they give them to the Kohen. And the Kohen, as we say in morning davening, Amurim mehem kayotze behem, Elisha Amurim nechal ha-Kohenim l'shem l'avneim l'avdeim, so it's reserved for the Kohenim and their families. Here, in this case, even though she's a Bas Kohen, because she was once married to a Zer, therefore she loses the ability to eat Chaz v'shoik, even though her marriage is over and she has no children from that marriage. So Amar of Chista, Amar of Chista, Amar of Vina Barshila, Maikra, where is a Pasuk that tells us that? Because the Pasuk describes about this Bas Kohen, it says, he bisrumas ha-kodshim lo yisoichal. It says, she cannot eat from the truma of the kodshim. Now, what does the word truma mean over there? It could have just said the kodshim. It means, b'mura min ha-kodshim lo yisoichal, means she's not allowed to eat what is lifted up from the kodshim. So now Rashi explains, it doesn't mean when she's still married to her husband, the Yisrael. Now it's true, the first half of the pasuk says, Uvas koyin ki seal the ish zar, and then it continues, he besumas hakadshim loisenchal. So you might infer from that we're only talking about when she's married to her husband, the Yisrael, then she's not allowed to eat chaz v'shoik, implying that after that, she would. No, Rashi says, because the words of Askoyin Kisiel Ish Zer actually don't refer to her marrying a Zer. We learned previously when we had in the seventh parak, when we talk about these dinim, when we talk about some of these dinim of a Askoyin eating and not eating truma, we said that those words, Askoyin Kisiel Ish Zer, is actually talking about a different din, where if she has relations with somebody who's possible for her, such as a Nosin or a Mamzer, then it passels her forever from eating truma. The fact that she can't eat truma when she's married to a zur, that we learn from the next pasuk, where it says v'shava al beis avia, where there she hasn't yet returned to her father's house. So therefore, on the other hand, the pasuk uvat. So Rashi explains like this again. Uvas koin kisiel ish zur is referring to nival al apostle. It's not referring where she married a zur when it was a proper marriage with a zur. On the other hand, he bisrumas hakodshim loisoichal, which Rav Chista is learning from that she can't eat chaz v'shoik, can't be referring only to that case, because then it didn't need to say bisrumas. So therefore, the pasuk is telling you that there is a case where she's able to eat, where she's able to eat certain kinds of kodshim, namely truma, but even then she can't eat trumas hakodshim, meaning the chaz v'shoik. So the pasuk, in other words, is talking about two different cases. Number one, if nivala l'posula, then she's also to ever eat truma or chaz v'shoik again. Number two, if she was married to a zar, then once that marriage is over, as the next pasuk says, v'shava al beis avia, then she can go back to eating truma, but still not chaz v'shoik. That we learn from the word truma sakotchi. So that's one way. Rav Nachman omer Rav Baravua. Rav Nachman says in the name of Rav Baravua a different way that we can learn that she can't eat chaz v'shoik. The pasuk says mi lachem v'loy kol lachem. It says she can eat from her father's bread. For lechem doesn't mean bread really. It means food in general. So she can eat from her father's food v'loy kol lachem, implying not all of her father's food. So therefore, so uh, So it means, in other words, that she's limited in what she can eat from what belongs to Kohen. Well, the question is, so how do you know if there's a miut in the pasuk? Who says that it's referring to that she can't eat chaz v'shoik? Maybe what you should say is, you would think that since she goes back to eating truma, maybe also she should revert to her father's jurisdiction as far as hafaras nedarim. Meaning, we know the Torah tells us that a father has the ability to cancel his daughter's nedarim before she's married. Then you have after she's arusa, then the din is her father, to cancel her nedarim needs the joint efforts of her father and her arus. And after she's married, then her husband has the ability to cancel her nedarim. So maybe Rami Bar Chama says, you would think like this. Without the pasuk telling you a mute, you would think, listen, she's able to go back to eating truma. Therefore, she's, in other words, it's as if she had never been married. Maybe in the same way, we would say the same thing applies as far as hafaras nedarim. Maybe her father has jurisdiction over her nedarim again, and maybe therefore the milechem avi atochel is coming to tell us not like that. So Tosfos discusses, okay, maybe we'd be talking about only if she's an arusa. If she was a nesua, then we're going to have something. So Omar Rava kvar poska tonet veda bishmol. The answer is you can't say that because we already have some that tonet veda bishmol answers that says that in fact that's not the case. So we know already that once she's been out of her father's jurisdiction as far as hafaras nedarim, namely that she got married, then she never goes back to it. You don't need a different miut in the pasuk for it. Therefore, of necessity, the miut has to be as Rav Nachman had said to teach us about chaz v'shoik. Namely, the Tanit Veda Bishmal, the Pasuk says, V'neder Amonu Grusha Yochum Olea. The Pasuk describes over there, it talks about in between, you have the Psukim over there about how an unmarried girl, her father can cancel an Adarim, and an Arusa, her father and her husband, etc. Then it says, V'neder Amonu Grusha, that the vows of an Amonu or a Grusha, skipping out a few words in the Pasuk, Yochum Olea has to remain on her, meaning that there's nobody who can be made for her Adarim. She can go do Hataras Nedarim, of course, but that's something else. Hataras Nedarim requires a Chacham. Hafaras Nedarim just requires her husband or her father or her husband or the both of them, as the case may be. We're going to get to in a few months from now, Be'ez Hashem, we'll be in Masechta Nedarim. Towards the end of the Masechta, it talks about these dinim in great detail. Anyway. So Matam of Loimar. The question is, Tana David Rabbi Shmuel says, why does the pasuk have to tell us that? Of course, an almono or grusha has nobody to cancel her nedarim. Valdei mutzah miklal av and mutzah miklal bal. Of course not. She's out of the jurisdiction of her father. She's out. So her husband's gone. He died or divorced her. So of course, there's nobody to be made for her nedarim. Why does the pasuk even need to mention it? Ella, so rather, says Tana David Rabbi Shmuel, the pasuk is coming to tell you. Suppose that the husband, suppose that the father gave the girl over to the shluchim of the husband. It could happen that the husband, when they're ready to get married, is not in town. So she needs to travel to where her husband is, and that's where the wedding is going to take place, and that's where she's then going to move in with him. Well. So she's not going to go by herself. So therefore, the husband would send shluchim to accompany her. So now, suppose that the father gave her to the shluchim of the husband, and they're on the way. Or for that matter, you could have where the father himself appoints shluchim to do that. The father himself is not in town, let's say, so he delegates to somebody to see to it that she gets safely to the shluchim of the husband, and then the shluchim of the husband will take over being responsible for her safety and get her there. So now, suppose that she got widowed or divorced on the way. Suppose that on the way, before the wedding ever took place, her arus passed away or divorced her. So what do we consider? Base avia shalzu, a base baila shalzu. So what do we consider? Do we consider that she's still in her father's house because she's not completely out of his jurisdiction because she didn't yet reach because she didn't yet reach her husband, she only reached the shluchim of her husband, or do we consider that she's in her husband's house, and therefore that she became an almana, and therefore the father can't be made for anymore? So which one would it be? So therefore, Ela loy malach. Therefore, the pasuk wants to tell you neither one. Kivin she yotza shah achas mirshus ab. Once she's left the father's rishus, and she, because again, either the father himself or his shluchim gave her to the shluchi abal, any yoch shuv any yochel lahafer, then he can't be made for anymore. So in other words, so we know, that once she's widowed or divorced, even if it was before the actual misuin took place, then her father can't be made for her nedarim anymore. You don't need a miut from the mem of milachem to tell us that. Therefore, says Rava, we can still stick with what Rav Nachman was saying, that the milachem is not coming to tell us anything about hafaras nedarim. Rather, it's telling us that even among what her father has to eat, namely truma and chaz v'shoik, she can only eat some of it, namely truma, but not chaz v'shoik. Okay, so that's a second way. So far we have two ways. We have Rav Chista's learning from he b'sruma sakodshim loisecha, where truma sakodshim means what was lifted up from the kodshim, which is the chaz v'shoik. You have Rav Nachman's that we learned from the mem of milachem. Now there's more explanations. Rav Safra Amar milachem aviyatochel. Rav Safra says, now in Rav Nachman's drasha, we were understanding that the word milachem means any kind of food, and therefore the mem of milachem means not all kinds of food. She's limited; she can't have chaz v'shoik. Rav Safra says, on the other hand, focus on the fact that the pasuk doesn't say oichel or something like that. It says lechem, milechem aviyatoichel. She can eat from her father's bread. Well, that implies lechem v'lo basar. So it means bread, but not meat. Meaning, in other words, truma. Truma is not taken from animals, of course, so therefore there's no such thing as meat of truma, but there is such a thing as bread of truma from grain. So therefore, the pasuk is implying that she can only eat truma, but not chaz v'shoik, which is meat. Rav Papa says another way we can learn it. When the pasuk is milechem aviyah toichel, it says from her father's bread. Focus on the fact that it says her father's, meaning lechem akonu laaviyah. It has to be food that actually belongs to her father, which truma does. Truma actually belongs to the kohen, and in principle, he can do with it whatever he wants. He could sell it to another kohen, for example, in principle. As opposed to the chaz v'shoik, don't really belong to the kohen. Those are just, they belong to Hashem as part of the korban, and Hashem grants them to the kohenim to eat like a person would give food from his table, but it doesn't actually belong to the kohen, and therefore it can't really be called milechem aviyah. So that's another way of showing that when the pasuk is saying that she can only eat lechem aviyah, means not chaz v'shoik. And another one, the Rava Amar. Rava says another way that we can learn it. The pasuk says, "Ve'es chazeya tznufa, ve'es sheka truma toichlu, ato v'necho v'nesecha itoch." The pasuk says, Moshe tells Aaron that the chazeya tznufa and the sheka truma, the chaz of a sheik that were lifted up and waved, toichlu, you eat them, ato v'necho v'nesecha itcha, you and your sons and your daughters with you, implying bizman she'itcha, only when they're with you. Meaning, in other words, only when they're before they're married. The fact that it says uvnei secha itcha implies only when they're fully in your jurisdiction, which we said before. After she was married, then she's not. So even though now, when her husband passes away and she has no children, then she's able to go back to eating truma. But here, where it says bonecha itcha, uvnei secha itcha, then it means that not. So we have several different ways of learning this concept that a bas koyin, when her marriage is over and she has no children, that from her husband, the koyin, that from her husband, the zor, rather, that she can go back to eating truma, but not chaz v'shoik. But, omer of adabahava, tana, we learn in a braisa, she chazeres laveis aviyah, it's true that when she returns to her father's house without having any children, chazeres la truma and chazeres la chaz v'shoik, then she can only return to truma, but not chaz v'shoik. But, v'shvil b'na, but we said in the Mishnah, there can also be a case where a woman is able to eat truma by virtue of the fact that she has a son from a kohen. Then when that applies, then b'shvil b'noch chayzeres af l'chaz v'shoik, then actually when it's because she's eating, because she has a son from her husband, the kohen, then she's actually allowed to eat even chaz v'shoik. to Ozer of Mordechai, Omer of Shmai to Kamed Ravashi. So Rav Mordechai went and told this statement over to Ravashi, and he's wondering, Omer Mehecha Kamisrabia, after all, where did we say, we said at the top of the Omer, at the beginning of the Gemara, we said, where are we learning the concept that when a woman has a son, from a, has a child from a Kohen, that she's able to eat Truma? We said we learn it from the word Uvas, or we said actually, we said whether we learn it from the Vav, or whether we learn it from the words Uvas Kohen. Whatever the case, Rav Mordechai says, how could her situation be stronger than the actual Bas Koyin? If we're learning it from a pasuk about a Bas Koyin, and we said the Bas Koyin, when she returns to Beis Aviyah, eats only Truma, not Chaz V'Shoik, how can we say that we're learning from the words Uvas Koyin an even stronger din for a Bas Koyin, or Bas Yisrael even, who marries a Koyin and has a child from him, that she should be able to eat even Chaz V'Shoik? What's the logic? The answer is Hosan Ksivimi Uti, Hochal Ksivimi Uti. True. But on the other hand, the difference is that when it comes to a Bas Koyen who goes home where after her marriage is over, then we have miyotim. We have the words milechem, and we have the mem of milechem. We have the word lechem itself, meaning only bread. We have the word avia, etc. Hochal Ksivimi Uti, whereas in the Pasuk, Uvas Koyen, Kisi Almonu Grusha. Or rather, in the pasuk Uvas Koyin Kisiel Ish Zer, there's no miut over there. Therefore, we can say there's nothing to tell. There's nothing to be memayet. So yes, it's true that she ends up therefore in a stronger position than a Bas Koyin who's returning home. But that's how it is because there's no miut in the pasuk to tell us otherwise. Unlike with a Bas Koyin who returns home, where there is such a miut. Okay. The Mishnah continued.
Bas Koyin. What's the miut?
Because we said several different miyotim. We said the fact that there's a the fact that it says bisruma sakodshim, the fact that it says mi lechem implying not all the lechem, the fact that it says lechem at all, which implies bread and not meat, and so forth. All the five different explanations that we had in the Gemara of how we learn that she doesn't eat chaz v'shoik. None of them does it say by the words uvas koyin kisi almono grusha. Only later on when it says v'zera ein la does it say only when it says v'shava al beis aviyah kenorel, the second half of that pasuk. Only then do you have the milechem aviyah circle. So therefore, we can say that it doesn't apply to the case of the first half of the pasuk, namely implying that if the zera ain't law, then she has a problem, but implying that if she has zera from the Koyin, where actually it says in previous pasukim, yilid beisoi, heim yeichlu belachmoi, that she should be able to. There's no miut over there that would tell us that it doesn't apply to chaz v'shoik as well. So therefore, in short, her son being a Koyin is going to be able to get Chaz V'Shoik, and she, even though she's a Bas Yisrael, will still be able to continue eating that Chaz V'Shoik as well as Truma by virtue of the fact that her son does.
Okay. Very, very consistent.
No, that's what Rav Mordechai was asking. It seems to be inconsistent, but the answer is in one case we have Miyotim, and the other case we don't have Miyotim. You want to look into the deeper reasons why that should be so, we'd have to look up and see what reasons those are, but them's the facts. Okay, moving on. The Mishnah had said Bas Koyin shenisses Yisrael fuller. We said if a Bas Koyin marries Yisrael, then we said that if she has children, so we said as long as she has children from her non-Koyin husbands, then she cannot eat Truma. So Tonan Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, V'shavel Beis Aviyah, when the Pasuk says she returns to her father's house, that means Prat Shemeres Yavam, as opposed to a Shemeres, it means to tell us not a Shemeres Yavam, because you can't really return to her father's house, she's tied to the Yavam. She needs either Yibum or Chalitza. So therefore, that's what we mean. We said in the previous Mishnah on Pehei Amad Beis, we said that a Bas Yisrael who's a Shemeres Yavam to a Koyin, or a Bas Koyin who's a Shemeres Yavam to a Levi, none of them can eat Truma. That's why, because the Pasuk says, V'shavel Beis Aviyah. Next, the Pasuk says, Kinu Reha, she returns to her husband, to her father's house, Kinu Reha, like in her youth, Prat Lamur Beres. That means as opposed to when she's pregnant, because then she's not like she was in her youth. So the question is, the Braisa asks, V'aloi Dinhu, why do you even need a Pasuk to tell us that if she's pregnant, then she can't eat from her non-Koyan husband, then she can't eat from her? We can make a Kabbal Chaymer. Let's consider, when we have a case of potential yibum, suppose that this woman was previously married, she had a child from her first husband, then her first husband dies or divorces her, then she marries another husband and they don't have children. She needs Yibum or Chalitza. You're going to say she has children from her first husband. Doesn't matter. The fact is her second husband is the one who died childless. So we see that where you don't make the child from her first husband the equivalent of a child from the second husband, to pater her from Yibum. Meaning, again, we don't say that because she has a child from her first husband, therefore she's pater from Yibum. We focus only on whether she had a child from the second husband, and if not, then she needs Yibum. And yet, also uber ki yolud, yet if she's pregnant, then it's considered as though the child was born, which we learned back on, we learned back at the beginning of the fourth perek of Amasechta, back on Daf Lamed Hei, Lamed Vav, that if she's pregnant, then she's already potter from Yibum. We talked about over there cases where what happens if she miscarries afterwards, then you have to figure that out. But as long as she's pregnant, she's potter from Chalitza or Yibum, because we assume that she's going to have a healthy baby. So we see that an unborn baby is considered like a born baby for that purpose. Well then, Mokim Shanatcha also Vlad Minarishan to Vlad Minasheni, the post Lamina Truma. Well then, let's consider. In the case of a Bas Koyin who and eating Truma, we're saying that we look at not only the results of her latest marriage, but even the results of her earlier marriage. So if she was married to one Yisrael and had a child with him, and then he died, and she married a second one, and then she didn't have any children with him, we still say she's also with Truma because she has a child from her first husband. So how much more so then we should make an unborn baby to be like a born baby? And we should say that since she's pregnant from, suppose she was married to a Kohen, and pregnant from him, why shouldn't she be able to eat Truma on the basis of this Kavachomer? The question is rather, why do we need a pasuk? The other way around. If she was pregnant from a Yisrael, why do we need a pasuk to tell us that she can't eat Truma if this Kavachomer would anyway tell us that the Uber is like a Yolud? We know once she has a born son from the Kohen, from the Yisrael, she can't eat Truma. Based on this Kavachomer, we should say the same thing is true of an unborn son. So therefore, automatically, we would know that an unborn child, she can't eat Truma. So why do we need the word Kinureha to tell us that? And the Braisa answers back, Loi, no, that's not a valid Kavachomer, because Mali also Ubaki Yolud in Yibum. You know why? When it comes to Yibum, you treat an unborn baby like a born baby, Shari also Mason Kachain, because after all, we see when it comes to Yibum, we see also that it doesn't matter whether they're dead or alive, it's still the same thing. Meaning, in other words, if let's say her husband dies and leaves her with a son, at that point, of course, she's potter from Yibum. Even if the son later on dies, she's still potter from Yibum. Now, what do you mean? On the face of it, she has no living children from her husband. It means that retroactively, it turns out that her husband had no living descendants. Shouldn't she need Yibum or Chalitza? We're going to talk about it on Omid Beis and say that she doesn't need to because Durachel Dachin Noyam. So we see by Yibum, the dead and the living are considered in effect the same thing for that purpose. Therefore, Nasa Uber Kiyolod in Truma, shall I also Mason Kachayim? On the other hand, by Truma, you don't have that. There's a big difference whether her husband dies and then her son dies or vice versa, namely by Bas Koyin. If she has a child from Yisrael, then if her husband dies and then her child dies, or her child dies and her husband dies, then she can go back to eating Truma, but not if either one of them are alive. So therefore, so it's not a valid comparison. So by the same token, as we consider the dead to be different from the living when it comes to Truma, the same way we should consider maybe an unborn baby to be different than a born baby. So yes, if she has a born baby from the Yisrael, then she can't eat Truma, this being a Bas Koyin we're talking about. But if she has an unborn baby, then maybe she should be able to. You can't compare it with Yibum is the point. Therefore, because you wouldn't know otherwise, Talmud Lama, Kinurea, Prakim Uberes. That is why we need the word Kinurea to teach us that once she's pregnant from the Yisrael, then she's already disqualified from eating Truma. So the Gemara points out the Itzruch Lemichta Uberes for Itzruch Lemichta Vezereinba. Now, the fact is we have the word Kinurea, which teaches us that she can't be pregnant. We also have the words that say explicitly in the Pasuk, Vezera Eimla, she has no children. So why do we need both of them? So we need both. Because if it only said that Vizera Aimla, that if she has no children, she can eat truma, implying that if she has children, then she can't, you would say, you know why? Because Meikra Chad Gufa Bash Tre Gufi. Because before there was one body, now there's two. Before she didn't have children, now she has her child is a separate body than her. Therefore, maybe that's why the Torah is machmer on her and preventing her from eating truma. Avamu beres the Meikra Chad Gufa Bash Tre Chad Gufa. She's still one body. Her Uber Yerachima, the baby is still part of the mother. So therefore, Aima Tefel. Maybe you would think she'd be able to eat truma, tzricha. Therefore, you need the word kinurehel to tell us that not. The kosi rachmanu moberes. On the other hand, if the Torah only told us that she can't eat truma when she's pregnant, you would say, d'me'ikra gufa tzricha v'hashta gufa malya. Because the difference is, there's a change in her body. Before, her body was empty. The word tzricha means empty, like an ilan srak, which means a tree that's empty of fruit. V'hashta gufa malya. And now her body is full. It has a baby in it. Also, what? In modern Hebrew, yes, Sirach, I guess can mean blank there. Avol zera ein lo demeikra gufa srika v'hashta gufa srika. But if the child's already born, where the status of her body is still the same, before her womb was empty and now it also is, ein lo, you would think that not, maybe she is able to eat truma, srika, and therefore the pasuk had to tell us about both of them that in neither case, whether she's pregnant from Yisrael or whether she has a born child from Yisrael, either way she cannot eat truma. Okay, so now in this discussion, we took for granted a couple of things. We took for granted that in the case of Yibum, if her husband dies, even though later on her child with him dies, she's potter from Yibum or Chalitza. We also we're gonna discuss that now.
Blank bullet.
Okay, we're gonna discuss that now. We also took it for granted that by Truma. That by truma, whether the husband dies first or whether the children die first, either way, the same dinim apply. So now we're gonna discuss that. So the Gemara says, "Simon, Omer le loy nasa masel b'misa nasa v'loy nasa b'vlad yovam utruma yibam utruma simon." This is a simon for a number of questions that now we're gonna have. Omer, it begins Omer le that Rabbi Yehuda Midiskauta is gonna ask Rava a bunch of questions, and these are catchwords for the question. Nasa v'loy nasa is asking that loy nasa. Why shouldn't we make it? Why shouldn't we make it the same like by yibum? And then Maseha, why should we make it like this, such and such? And we're talking back and forth, Misa, Nasa, we talk about why shouldn't we make Mason Kachayim? And we're talking about Yop first, we're talking about Yibum, then Truma, then again Yibum, then Truma. So that's the same. Yeah. So Amalei Rav Yehuda Midi Skauta L'Rava. First, the first question, you're telling me that when it comes to Yibum, that if her husband died and then her child from him died, then she's still potter from Yibum or Chalitza. So why? Loi nasa mesim kachayim le'in Yibum mekabachomer. On the contrary, we should say a kabachomer from Truma. Uma b'mokim sha'osa v'lad min erishin ki v'lad min asheni l'poisim min ha'truma. We just said that when it comes to Truma, whether she has a child only from her first husband or also from her second husband, either way, if her husband was Zorim, she's possible from Truma, as we said before, as long as she has any living descendants from her non-Koyan husbands, then she can't eat Truma. So there we see there's no difference whether it was from her first marriage or her second marriage. And loy osa mesim kachayim. And by Truma, we're saying that there's no that we don't make the mesim like the living. In other words, they have to both be dead, her husband and her child, in order for her to eat truma, and otherwise not. So then, mokum shalai also vlad min erishin to vlad min asheni the protein min yibum. So then, in the case of yibum, where we don't make them the same, because after all, we said that if she has a child from her first husband, that doesn't save her from having to do yibum if she didn't have a child with her second husband. If her second husband is childless altogether, so then how much more so we shouldn't make the dead like the living. So in other words, if her son from her husband passes away after her husband died, then she should be required to do Yibum Chalitza after all. Because after all, her husband didn't leave behind any living children. We say by Truma that works. Why doesn't it work by Yibum? The answer is Talmud Loimah Drachar Dachin Noyam V'chol Nesivaseh Shalom. The pasuk says the Torah's ways are ways of peace, and all of its paths are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. Now what's unpleasant or lack of shalom in this case? So Rashi explains that suppose you have this woman's husband died. She had a son from him, so therefore she's free to marry anybody she wants. There's no zika. Then if her son dies, if you're going to say at this point she needs chalitza, then so Rashi says, Hari misgana albaila. It's going to make her unattractive to her husband that now she has to undergo chalitza. So it's going to cause friction in their marriage, and therefore, so the Torah can't possibly be requiring her to go back to having a zikr in that case. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos at the beginning of the Masechta says a different point about Diracha Dachanaim. She thought that she's rid of these Yuvamim. She doesn't have to deal with them anymore. Now it turns out, all of a sudden, unexpectedly, that she has to again after she was happily married to somebody else. That's a lack of Duracher Dachin Noyam, that we would say that she has to deal with them again and then deal with them as far as Yuvam or Chalitza when she thought she was rid of them. The Ritva says a different thing. He seems to say that they would actually have to get divorced in order for her to do chalitza, and it's a little bit sarach here and why. Later on in the parak, actually, we're going to talk about there can be cases where a woman is married and does chalitza for various reasons. There are certain rare cases. We're going to talk about it later on Daf Tzadik Beis. But maybe because one possibility is because the fact is they can't live together until she does. If we were to say that there's a zika again, then they wouldn't be able to live together until she does chalitza. So therefore, yeah. So the Torah can't mean to interfere in her marriage like that. So that takes away that potential kavod chayim. Okay. Next, Rabbi Yehuda ben Iskariot asks, on the contrary, v'nasim meisim kachayim in intrum mekavod chayim. Okay. So then in that case, why don't we say the other way around? Let's make the dead to be like the living as far as truma from a kavod chayim. Meaning, in other words, that we should say that it doesn't matter as long as she had a child from Yisrael when her husband died, then even if that child died afterwards, she should still be barred from eating truma. She doesn't have any children. Well, the same way as we say it doesn't make a difference by Yibum, as we just explained. So then we should make a kavod chayim and say it doesn't make a difference by truma either. You're saying that by Yibum, there's the child from the first marriage and from the second are not the same. Just because she had a child from the first marriage doesn't prevent her from having to do chalitza or Yibum if her second marriage was childless. And also Mesim Kachayim, and we've just established that by Yibum, we make the dead child equivalent to the living one in the sense that as long as he was alive when her husband passed away, then it doesn't matter whether the child is alive or dead afterwards. Either way, we said she's forever potter from Yibum or Chalitza. So Mokim Shanasa, Vladimir Ushin, Vladimir Ashini, the person of Truma. Well, by Truma, it's even stronger because we say that her child from her first husband can prevent her from eating Truma, even if her second marriage was childless. Ain't a din Shanasa Mason Bechayim. Shouldn't it be a Kavachoyma that even if the child dies, we still consider as if he was alive because he was alive? Because he was alive at the time of at the time when her husband died, then therefore whether he's alive or dead afterwards shouldn't make a difference, and she's also to eat truma. No, so the answer is Talmud Baim. The pasuk says v'zera imlo. The pasuk says why can't she eat truma because she has no children, implying v'ha imlo. The fact is she has no children. So there, it doesn't. Unlike by Yibum, it doesn't matter what the status was at the time when her husband died or divorced her. It matters what the status is right now. Right now, she has no children. Maybe she had them before, but right now she doesn't. Therefore, she can go back to eating truma. Okay. Now let's go back to Yibum. And again, we assumed all this time for purposes of this discussion that when it comes to Yibum, it makes a difference. It doesn't make a difference, rather, whether she has a child from her previous marriage or not. As long as her current marriage was childless, then she has to do Yibum or Chalitza. So let's examine that. Why don't we use a kavachomer to say that her child from her first husband should be like the equivalent of a child from the second husband as far as Yibum. Meaning, we know that if she has a child from her second husband, of course she's potter from Chalitza or Yibum. Let's say that also if she has a child from her first husband, she should also be potter from Chalitza or Yibum. So if she was married to Reuven, and then she had a child with him. Later on, Reuven died, and she married Moshe, who's unrelated, and she didn't have a child with him. We should say the fact that she had a child from Reuven would pater her from having to do chalitza or yibum after Moshe. After all, mikabachomer. Again, we can say a kabachomer based on truma. Umma b'mokum shalei also meisim chayim in the truma. We just established that by truma, because the pasuk says v'zera ein la. So there's we don't make dead children like living ones. Meaning, in other words, we say that if the child is alive, she can't eat truma. But once the child is dead, she could. and it doesn't matter whether when the child died. Also, Vladimir in addition to Vladimir Hasheni, but by Truma, we're saying that whether she has a child from her first husband or a second, either way, she can't eat Truma as long as one of them is living. So Mokum Sha'asa Mesim Kachaim, then Yibum. Well, by Yibum, we just established that because of Duracher Dachin Noyem, that it doesn't matter whether the child was alive, whether the child died, whether the child is from her husband is still alive or whether he died, as long as it was after her husband died. So Eina Din Shinasa Vladimir Urshin Ki Vladimir Hasheni. Shouldn't we make a Kavu Choymer then and say that a child from her first husband is the equivalent of from her second husband? As long as she has any children, then she's Potter from Chalitza. As long as she has any living children, she's Potter from Chalitza or Yibum. Talmud Loima, no, therefore by Yibum, the Pasuk says, Uvein Einloi. And the pasuk says he has no sons. Well, the fact is he doesn't have any sons. He doesn't have any children. Therefore, Yibum or Chalitza is still needed. She has children from a previous marriage. Doesn't matter. The point is that her husband didn't have it. Okay. And the last question is now when it comes to Truma, the loy nas of Vladimir Urshin ki Vladimir Hasheni the Truma Makabachomer. So why don't we make a Kabachomer and say that when it comes to Truma, we don't look at what happened in her previous marriages. We focus only on which child does she have from her latest marriage. Namely, again, Makabachomer. When it comes to Yibum, we're saying that whether the child is alive or dead, it patters her from Yibum as long as the child was alive when her husband died. And that patters her from Yibum forever because we said, Drachel Dachin Dayam. Loi osa Vladimir Urshin ki Vladimir Hasheni. But we just established, because it says, Uvein Ein Loi, that there's a difference whether there was a child, there's no difference whether she had a child from her first marriage. The key thing is, does she have a child from her second, from her latest marriage? So then, Mokum Shaloi also Mason Chaim in Truma. Well, then by Truma, where we don't make the dead equal to the living, because we said it doesn't matter whether the child, it doesn't matter that we said if the child is alive, then she can't eat Truma. Once the child is dead, even if it was after her husband's dead, then also she can eat Truma. Ain't a din, should loy nasa Vladimir Kalin in Truma. Ain't a din, should loy nasa Vladimir Urshin ki Vladimir Hasheni. Shouldn't it be a Kabachomer that by Truma? We should say that we ignore any children she had from previous marriages and we focus on what does she have children from her last marriage. No, Talmud Lema, Ein Lo. No, therefore the pasuk says she has no children. But Hayeshla, the fact is she has children. So in short, in other words, when it comes to the status of the children, the key thing is by Truma, it depends on her. By Yibum, it depends on him. And when it comes to, when it comes to changing her status after the fact, after her husband died, that her status should change. By Yibum, we don't do that because Drachel Dachin Noyam. On the other hand, by Truma, the key thing is what is the status right now? And since right now was Zera Ema, then that's good enough, even though there was a point after her husband died or divorced her where she did have Zera. Hadron Aloch Yesh Mutaris. We're now going to start with a topic which is we're going to go off and on throughout the rest of the Masechta. Although the major part of it actually is going to be in the last two parakim, but we're starting it over here, which is dinim about what happens in terms of when a woman receives a report that her husband has died. When do we say that she's allowed and not allowed to remarry? And in particular, we're going to start by talking about in terms of the consequences of what happens if she receives such a report, she remarries, and then it turns out her husband is alive after all.
This is a very popular topic.
And yes, so it's going to be discussed. So we're going to discuss it in our perek. After that, we're going to digress to other topics, and we're going to return to it primarily in the last two parakim of the Masechta. Tosfos points out there's a connection with the previous perek, because the previous perek we talked about various cases where a woman is possible from Truma and from Meiser, and our Mishnah is also going to mention that as one of the consequences in this case. So the Mishnah says, Ha'isha shaholach bayrul in dinas hayam, if a woman's husband went overseas, people came and told her that your husband died. Now, we're going to explain in the Gemara that even though it says people in the plural, it really means only one aid. So why Taka does it use the plural expression? Tosfos Yom Tov says, because we're going to learn at the end of the Masechta that aid himself can have heard it by hearsay. So therefore, in effect, you can have, there are multiple people involved, but ultimately it's only one aid came. Anyway, so he said, Mesbailech, your husband died, then Nissus, and so she remarried, and then her first husband showed up. So obviously she was an Eishes Ish. So now the Chachamim imposed a bunch of consequences. Tetz Mizeh Mizeh, first of all, she has to divorce both of them. Rashi explains, we don't consider her an Anusa. Now, if she was an Anusa, she would be Mutter to her first husband. But in this case, we don't consider her an anusa because it's true that we believe one aid when it comes to Eidus Isha, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara and as we're going to discuss extensively towards the end of the Masechta. But the fact is, the reason is because the Chacham didn't want to leave her in aguna without, the Chacham didn't want to leave women as agunas. But the reason why, the mechanism that makes that work, that allows the Chacham to trust one aid in this case, is a concept called Isha Daika Uminsava. She's going to be very careful about accepting that address before we marry. She's not just going to say, oh, good, the guy said my husband is dead, let me go marry the next guy. She's going to carefully investigate, and she knows there's consequences, exactly. So therefore, two edim we're going to talk about later. Two edim we're going to get to.
Would there be,
then it's more of an onus. We're going to get to that later in the Mishnah. Just to halt cup. We'll get to it in a few minutes. So. Yeah, okay. But right now, one aid, even though we do believe him, nevertheless, it's still, we have to put consequences on her. Those consequences themselves will make sure that Isha Daiko Minsava, that she's going to be very careful, and therefore that one aid, she's only going to believe this one aid, only if she thoroughly investigates it for herself. So Tetsa Mizeo Mizeo, so she has to divorce both of them. Or Tzricha Get Mizeo Mizeo, she does need a get from both of them if she wants to marry somebody else. Now, from the first husband, of course, she needs a get because, again, on a Daraisa level, her marriage with him is still intact. Why she needs a get from the second one, if she was already an Ashes Ish and Kedushin aren't Tofus with her, that will deal with in the Gemara. The Ein Lo Ksuba, she's not entitled to a Ksuba payment from either one of them. Veloy Peiris, and she's also not entitled to Peiris, meaning that if the husband took Peiris from her Nixemarug, then she doesn't get reimbursed for them. Veloy Mizonis, she's not entitled to support. Veloy Blois, and she's not entitled to the worn out or depreciated things of Nixe Tzoyn Barzel that she brought in. Again, Rashi explains over here, Blois, like he did in the previous parak, that it means even if the things still exist, they're just worn out, she's not entitled to them. Tosfos in the previous parak, and then most other Mephoshim learn that if they're Bloiser Kayomin, if those things are still existing, just depreciated, then sure, she can take those. Only if she was Mizana Barotzin does she forfeit those as well. But here in this case, it wasn't Barotzin after all. There was, it's not Oinus, as Rashi had said, but it's not Bemezid either. Therefore, she'd be entitled to Bloiser Kayomin. What we mean is that if there's something of Nixit Son Barzel that was completely used up or is gone, then she doesn't get reimbursed from either husband for that. Loyal Zeb, neither the first or the second husband. The Imnokla Mizeo Mizeo Taxi, if she did get any blois or mizonis or whatever from one or from the other, Taxi, then she has to return it because it doesn't belong to her. She's not entitled to it. Vavlad Mamzer Mizeo Mizeo, any child that she has from either one of them is a mamzer. So if she has a child from the second husband, of course, then it's a mamzer daraisa, no question about it, because she's an Ashes Ish. Rashi says, if the first one were to illegally remarry her, then he would be a mamzer midrabban. Now, here you have a machlokas rishon. Because not daraisa, because she still is married to the first one. On a daraisa level, or married to the first one is still intact. Right. Now, there is a machlokas about this. Tosfos says, what would happen if the first one gave her a get? So if she stays with the second one, she's not allowed to, because we said Tetz Mizeo Mizeo. But if at that point she marries the second one illegally, would the child be a mamzer from it? Right. Tosfos says that yes. On the other hand, Tosfos Yishonim and Tosfos Chadmi Kamai. Dirabon, yeah. Tosfos Yishonim and Tosfos Chadmi Kamai discuss and say not necessarily. And the Rambam also seems to say that no, if one of them gave her a get, then we're not going to impose to the extent that the child was a mamzer. Shulchan Aruch brings the din, but the Shulchan Aruch, when it brings it in Siman Yud Zayin and Ebene Ezer, is a little bit, he doesn't clarify the din fully. And so Chelkas Mechoykik over there has a long discussion of what the Shulchan Aruch actually holds. Is he actually holding like Tosfos Shita or like the Rambams? Anyway, continues the Mishnah. Now, if either one of these husbands was a Kohen, then neither one is allowed to be Metame for her. So if she dies, obviously. Neither one of them is entitled to anything that she finds. finds, even though usually anything that a woman, anything that a married woman finds belongs to her husband, as a tikkun derabanan, because he supports her. Here, since she's not entitled to support, he doesn't get her metziah. He's not entitled to her ma'isiyah deha, to her earnings. Again, we're going to discuss in the Masechta Ksubos why the husband is entitled to each one of these things. The Chacham set each one of them up, as it's in return for something that he does for her, but since he doesn't do such and such for her, she's not entitled to pay us and the zonus and so forth, then therefore they're not entitled to a metziah or a ma'isiyah deha. V'loy ba'afaras nedarah, neither of them are allowed to revoke her nedarim. If she was a Bas Yisrael, then the result of this is she's possible to every marry a Kohen, because she's considered a Zoyna. If she was a Bas Levi, then she can't eat Meiser. Now Rashi says, we're not necessarily talking on a Daraisa level over here, because after all, we said before, anybody is allowed, according to the Chachamim, against a mayor, anybody is allowed to eat Meiser. This is a Knas. This is part of the knas that the Chum imposed, that even though she's a Bas Levi, and by rights she should be able to eat Meiser, in this case, the Chacham penalized her and took that away from her. What do you mean anyone's able to eat Meiser? Usually anybody's able to eat Meiser Rishon. We learned on Daf Peivav. We had a machlokas from Meir and the Chachamim on that. Meir said that not, but the Chachamim said that yes. And the Rebbe Lozman Azariah, and it says that anybody can eat Meiser Rishon. You have to give it to the Levi, or Rebbe Lozman Azariah says to the Kohen, but afterwards anybody can eat it. But here, so normally there's no restrictions on eating Meiser. But here, because of this situation, therefore we part of the penalty is that if she's a Bas Levi, she forfeits Meiser. Or Bas Kohen and not Truma. And if she's a Bas Kohen, then she forfeits Truma again, because she had relations with somebody who she was also to. The in Yoshin Shalzev, Yoshin Shalzev, Yoshin as Ksubasa. The heirs of neither husband, Yoshin Huksuba. Meaning, we're going to learn in the Gemara, and a couple of blah, that you have the case where the woman passes away. Now, normally the Ksuba is paid out when the husband dies or divorces her. But there is a Takana Derabanan called Ksubas Min Dichrin, which is that if the woman dies first, then the amount that should have been her Ksuba payment instead is Yoshined by her Yoshim, and then they split up the rest of the property between them. We're going to learn about it in Masechta Ksubas, Be'ez Hashem. But say, for example, the Chosim were, let's say 500 zuz, and out of that 200 zuz is a ksuba payment. So now let's say she has children from a previous husband, then those children are going to yaushin, and let's say for example she has some children from her first marriage and then some children from her second marriage, then the huksuba is going to be so huksuba from her second marriage is going to be yaushin by her children from both marriages. They're gonna split it up between them, and then only her husband's yoshim are going to inherit the rest of the property. Anyway, so in this case, neither one's Yoshin, Yoshin Huksuba. Now, the Gemara is going to say, what Huksuba? We just said that she forfeits Huksuba. So we'll talk about that in the Gemara. V'mesu, if either one of the husbands dies, Echav Shalzev Chotzen V'le Miyamin, both of their brothers have to do Chalitza with her, but neither of them can do Yibum with her. So that's okay. Now, Rabbi Yossi disagrees with part of what we said. He says, Ksuba Sal Michse Ba'le Arishin. I disagree, says Rabbi Yossi, that she forfeits Uksuba entirely. She is entitled to Uksuba from her first husband's Nechasim. Because after all, legally, she is still married to him. Rabbi Lozer says, again, after all, the fact is, strictly speaking, she is still married to the first husband. It's just considered that she was Mizaneh. So therefore, the first husband is still entitled to her Metziah, to anything that she finds, over Ma'isiyah Deh, and to her earnings, over Afaras Nedarah, and to cancel her Nedarim. Reb Shimon says furthermore also that if the brother, we said in the Tanakhama had said that the brothers of both of them have to do chalitza with her and neither one can do yibum. Reb Shimon says no, a bir or chalitza from any brother of her first husband is enough to pater her tzara, meaning in other words that's it, the zika is over. The ain of Vladimir Menu Mamzer, and furthermore Reb Shimon says the child from the first husband would not be considered a mamzer. So that's all. Now that's all if she was married based on one aid. Continues the Mishnah. The imnisus shaloi b'rishus. If she married without rishus of based in, meaning that she had two aidim. Once there were two aidim, she didn't need rishus of based in at all. Oh, because then, muteras lachzoloi. Then she would be allowed to return to her first husband, because at that point we consider her to be an anusa.
Because when there's one aid, we say, you know, it's still it's partly her fault. She should have been Daiko Minzava. But two aidim, after all, is the gold standard of evidence in halacha. So what else could she do? Once two aidim came, then she's entitled to. Right. So Nisus al pi Beis Din. On the other hand, if she married based on permission of Beis Din, Tetze, then she does have to get divorced. Or Ptura min a korban. However, she is potter from a korban that she would have to bring, usually a chatas for being mezanez and eishes ish, because it's a chiyuv kares. She's potter because she relied on Beis Din. Loy nisus al pi Beis Din. If she didn't marry based on permission of Beis Din, then Tetze, she does have to get divorced. Chayevus min a korban, but she's also chayev in a korban, meaning yofa koyach Beis Din, chepotter min a korban. So it comes out that Beis Din has the power to potter her from a korban because she relied on them.
So we're saying two Adim, she does
need to bring a korban, right? Because she didn't rely on Beis Din, she relied on the Adim.
She's
right.
Still doing better.
Right, right.
Because she didn't have any other.
And the Mishnah finishes off, Hayruah Beis Din Linah. Say, now what happens if Beis Din told her, you can go ahead and get married, but instead of getting married, she went and was mezana. Chayevus b'korban. Now she's going to be chayev in a korban. Shalohi tiru el nasa. They gave her a heter to marry. They never gave her a heter to be mezana. So therefore, she can't be considered that she relied on Beis Din's psak for that. And therefore, she's chayev in her own individual korban. I guess we'll start the Gemara tomorrow. Best Hashem.